This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This episode of Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by Barbie leaving Ken for G.I. Joe. Instead, it's brought to you by In the Dark. Hey, listeners, did you know that the hit podcast In the Dark is back? In its first season, In the Dark earned a Peabody for its in-depth study of the Jacob Wetterling kidnapping. And in season two, they're exploring a new story with life or death consequences. It's the case of four people killed in a small town in Mississippi, and why a black man on death row has been tried six times for their murder. You can find In the Dark now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. This episode is also brought to you by us in Nashville, Tennessee, this weekend. Hey, boys and girls, we're going to CrimeCon, but that's not the important part, because you can't get a ticket to CrimeCon, because CrimeCon is all sold out. But the really great thing is we are going to be at the Acme Feed and Seed on the 5th, which is this Saturday, 5th of May. We're doing a listener meetup. It's going to start at 6 o'clock that night. So if you want to come, please feel free. And there's going to be some guests, other guests, and some other awesome guests, because we pull awesome guests. So we will see you kids in Nashville on the 5th. 2018, not 2019. Don't go there in 2019, because you'll be very confused.
I'd be sad.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways, the podcast. I am Devin, joined as usual by
Steve
and
Joe,
known as Wolf.
No, I'm Murder Hog.
Stay tuned for next year's April Fool's episode to hear the backstory behind that.
Lots of truffles.
Yeah. Anyway, today we are going to talk about the Bohemian Grove. An important note here, I promise I will tell you guys the overview of this story, but an important note here for those of you who are screaming and excited, this is not going to be an episode about the Bohemian Club or the Skull and Bones or the New World Order, just the annual retreat with a brief exception for purposes of explanation.
Well, I just neutered this story.
No.
It's not just about the annual retreat, it's about the actual Bohemian Grove itself, which is, you know, like supposedly got a huge underground complex underneath it and some nuclear missile silos and stuff like that.
Joe?
Yeah.
That was the Denver airport.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Wrong story.
Wrong story. Yeah. Yeah.
Wrong story.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the Denver air, the whole Denver thing is a red herring.
Yes. Yeah. This is the real. Yeah. No, we are not. We're just talking about the annual retreat at the Bohemian Grove of the Bohemian Club.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry for all those of you who are already lost. I promise. Bear with me for like 10 more minutes and we'll get you there.
Man, if it takes 10 minutes.
I'm just, you know, buffer just in case.
Oh, okay.
I also just want to thank TJ, who suggested this case a long time ago.
Well back.
Thank you. So, here we go.
So, what are we talking about here?
The general mystery here is that since 1878, a group of high-powered men have gathered once a year in the forest for 2 weeks. That's it.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
Yeah.
I told you this was boring.
No, yeah. Well, there's a little more to it.
There's way more. They do
mysterious stuff. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Roll credits.
Yeah. No, yeah. The big thing here is that it's super secretive, and there are rumors of occultism, deviancy, scheming. As mentioned, not about the Bohemian Club, but I do want to give you some context. The club was founded in 1872 by some journalists.
From San Francisco.
San Francisco. Actually, can you read this little bit here? It's an excerpt from an article from 1915 that I think summarizes.
Use your old news-timey voice, please.
I was going to use my San Francisco voice.
Okay.
Use your news-timey voice. Yeah.
I was going to use my groovy voice.
Just use your normal voice.
It is groovy. Okay. The Bohemian Club was organized in the Chronicle office by Tommy Newcomb, Sutherland, Dan O'Connell, Harry Dam, Jay Lyman, and others who were members of the staff. The boys wanted a place where they could get together after work, and they took a room on Sacramento Street below Kearney. That was the start of the Bohemian Club, and it was not an unmixed blessing for the Chronicle because the boys would go there sometimes when they should have reported at the office. Very often when Dan O'Connell sat down to a good dinner there, he would forget that he had a pocket full of notes for an important story. So it's a drinking club, pretty much, it's a fraternal club. Yeah,
but also it also has a, you know, bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As all fraternal organizations tend to.
Yeah, and while it was originally a fraternal order for artists and journalists, like you'd expect from a club called the Bohemian Club, you know, they were bohemians, like artists. You guys know. I don't need to explain what a bohemian is, do I?
But you do need to explain what a beatnik is.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It's not relevant. Eventually, this club did start to let businessmen in, then politicians, and now the membership is almost exclusively very rich, very powerful men.
Many of them are still in the media business, by the way.
Keynote there, men only. Yeah, the current membership logs are secret, but past membership logs are available. Pretty much everyone who's been a Republican president has been on this list at some point.
Mm-hmm.
At least since 1878.
At least since 1878. Yeah, sorry. Mm. Yeah, that detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, fraternal means boys only.
People don't always get that.
Yeah. Anyhow, in 1878, the club members decided to start an annual retreat where they could cut loose because apparently the club wasn't enough of a cut loose for them. Mm. They procured some land in the Redwoods near San Francisco, again, where their clubhouse is located, still to this day is located their clubhouse, and made it a place called the Bohemian Grove. This is where the name of the retreat comes from, although when it was first started, they did call it the Midsummer's Hijinks, which, again, should give you some framework onto
hijinks, screwing around, games.
Yeah.
Although now they have
the
Lowjinks, which is a weird twist on that name. But
it's lowbrow.
Lowjinks and hijinks. But that was the theme of the summer retreat was just, you know, hijinks. It's, you know, boys will be boys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm kind of actually kind of wishing we weren't doing this story quite yet because I'm going to be going down there in about 2 weeks for a wedding and I'm going to be like 10 miles from this place.
Mm-hmm. So you think you're going to be able to get to the Bohemian Grove?
I'm thinking about, you know, going down there.
You think you're
going
to Alex Jones it?
Sneak in through the woods.
I don't think you need to sneak in, man. It sounds like you can just drive right in.
Yeah, it does.
Pretty close. And we'll talk about that in just one second.
I'm sorry, we interrupted
that's
you.
That's okay. The retreat is 16 days long, so 2 full weeks.
So that is weekend, weekend, and weekend.
Yeah.
That's the way it runs. It has an opening weekend, a middle weekend, and a closing weekend. That's why it's 16 and not 14.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. On average, annually, 2,500 men attend. The camp is almost 160 acres large.
In the redwoods, too.
In the redwoods.
It's huge and
it's
beautiful.
It's huge, yeah. And bastards. As we mentioned, no girls allowed, or women, except for there was a lawsuit in the 80s because they were actually not even hiring women. Mm-hmm. And then in the 80s, some people brought a lawsuit against them
and said,
actually, you do have to hire women. And the court said, yeah, actually, you do have to hire some women. So they've hired women to do really specific jobs like park cars or cook, but in really specific areas of the camp. So they're not exposed to any of the
hijinks,
the goings on,
whatever the goings ons are. And that remains a little bit to be seen.
And the guys the guys want to be guys. So they're like a lot of public urination going on and stuff like that. And
actually, that may be true. Yes.
The biggest reason they don't want women, you know, all over the place.
We'll get into that a little bit. And actually, it's probably worth mentioning also that there have been a few honorary female members of the Bohemian Grove or the Bohemian Club.
Four of them.
And none recently.
No, not in like the last 90 years
or
something.
Yeah, they are. But that was something, actually, there was during that lawsuit, they said, not only do you have to hire women at the Bohemian Grove, but you have to let them into your fraternal order. And the court said, actually, okay, you do have to hire them, but you don't have to let them into your club, I guess, especially because they do have some events, not at the Grove at this retreat, but they do have some events where they can bring wives or partners if they want.
So there are other ladies in attendance at this event.
Well, rumored.
Okay. So just to keep this brief, there are claims that there's motels and establishments such as that near the Grove that are frequented by the men over the course of their up to two-week stay.
They don't bring them onto the premises. So
right, but these ladies, which are brought in as sex workers to, I'm going to use a term, don't freak out on me, anybody, to quote-unquote service these gentlemen, they are brought to that hotel and then
but they are technically still no girls allowed in the Grove.
Yeah. Right, but, you know, I mean, they are the equal opportunity. I guess.
I think there are women involved,
so that's one of the funny gray areas. To me, anyway, I find a bit of irony in that.
I mean, I guess
I totally get it.
Maybe as a woman, I don't as much, just because that makes sense to me that there would be this big, powerful fraternal order where they would also be like, no girls allowed. Oh, except.
Yeah.
Except for this one thing.
You guys can come for this one thing.
But even then, I don't think they actually let them onto the premise.
I don't think they do.
No, they're on the edge of the premise.
But I will say there are other camps. This is the big retreat, but there are other. A member of the club can rent out part or all of the facility. I don't know why you'd rent out all the facility, but you can rent out part of the facility during different times of the year.
Not during this event.
And you can have daughters and wives and female family members, except they have to be off campus by 9. They can't spend the night there.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Which is like, then why? I guess you would. It's like renting a park to host a picnic or a memorial or birthday or whatever.
The security, it might be good, might not be good. But it's pretty secluded, and I think it has a lot of amenities that a lot of other places in the middle of the Redwoods don't. And I bet you get a pretty good deal being part of the club on the facility itself.
Well, you better for the price that it costs to be a member.
Do you have that number in your brain?
I think
it's $8,500 initiation fee, but that's an older article.
Well, that's from the 80s. It was $8,500 was your initiation fee.
I've heard it's $25,000 now. Yeah.
Which is probably low with inflation. But I also remember in the 80s, it was an average continual annual membership fee of about $2,500 a year.
Yeah.
So if we upscale that like we did with the membership fee, you're paying $5,000-$10,000 a year just to stay a member.
Yeah. Well, and
it's not a poor man's group.
And it's invitation only.
Yeah.
You can't be invited by just one member either.
No. And the waiting list is really, really long. And actually, it turns out most of the people who become new members are just like sons of people, of men who are already members.
Yeah.
Again,
it's that kind of situation.
It is. But as I said, really rich, really powerful men are part of this club and go to this retreat. Okay. Back to what happens at the camp.
After all the money talk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot, actually, goes on. And actually, most of it, we don't really know what goes on.
It's a secret group.
It's a secret club, and it's the retreat is also intended to be secret. I mean, it's more secret than Vegas, right?
It is.
It's literally what happens at Bohemian Grove stays at Bohemian Grove.
It seems like enough journalists and such have snuck in and with cameras or just tape recorders or whatever. I sort of feel like I have a pretty good idea what goes on there.
I feel like that as well,
but for the sake of this story for right now, let's just say
keep the mystery
we don't
alive.
Really, well, we, you know, I feel like you have a sense. In fairness, we don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. There's no official.
We don't really know.
Yeah.
One
thing that people find the most weird, we do have some footage of it. It exists on the internet. And the reason that we have this footage is because of a guy named Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah. Alex. Yeah.
You probably know this guy.
Yeah.
If you don't, do yourself a favor and do not bother to look him up. He founded InfoWars and has a lot to say about a lot of things.
He's been a show host since 1998. He's been doing it a long time.
He has, yeah. InfoWars, I think, started 2006, 2003, early 2000s.
Fair enough, yeah.
In 2000, after a lot of speculation. This thing has been going on at Bohemian Grove for so long, and it's been pretty secret. But the people who attend are so high profile. There's been a lot of speculation about what happened, what's going on. And in the 1980s, a magazine called Spy Magazine.
I remember Spy.
Did write an article. Oh. So one of their journalists wrote an article because he had managed to sneak in.
For like 6 days or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I think he was sneaking in and out.
He wasn't staying overnight.
Was sneaking in and out pretty easily, actually.
And so I actually like what he has to say about it much more, but that's okay because we do have this actual footage. we do have this actual footage from Alex Jones. So he and a cameraman snuck into Bohemian Grove where quote unquote, so many others had failed. It was surprisingly easy for him to sneak in.
Everybody that's got in has said that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's one thing you can see footage like ABC footage where they drive right up to the main gate and there's a security guard there. And they say, "Hi, we're here with ABC News on camera." And the guy goes, "No, get back there. You're not allowed in here. Get back." Mm. Right. And so I think a lot of people were like, "Oh my God, it's impossible to get in." I don't think that's true. You just have to have a little bit of knowledge.
It's the woods, for God's sake. Yeah. There's not a fence around the
hole. Yeah, you can walk in.
Exactly. Yeah. You can absolutely walk in. So that's what they did. They walked in and found this little transit there because since it's so large, there's buses that take you everywhere. And they went to get on a bus and the person who was driving the bus said, what order are you a part of? Because there's a bunch of different sub camps, which we'll talk about in a second.
It reminds me a lot of Burning Man, because Burning Man, the established camps, they usually are in the center of Black Rock City, and they're named like that also.
Yeah. So he knew that the Texas group was called the Hillbillies. So he's from Texas. He's Texan. He's a pretty thick Texas accent. Yeah, Alex Jones. Sorry. And he says we're with the Hillbillies, and the guy says, "Oh, okay, you can get on the bus." And they ride around a little bit, and there's all this footage. It's really grainy. You know, it's from 2000, so it's grainy already. And there's weird cropping issues, and it was a hidden camera.
Here's the thing that I find really funny is he says, "My cameraman and I." Well, it wasn't as if he had the giant on the shoulder camera.
That would have flown.
A little itty bitty video camera, crappy digital camera, hidden in like a box.
Probably,
something.
It was hidden.
Like a lunchbox with a hole drilled in it.
Probably not even VGA quality. It was the year 2000. I mean, I think probably had 480 by 640.
Oh, at the best.
It's so bad.
The point is that it was the most hokey. What was the TV show back in the 60s, Joe, with the guy who had the shoe for a phone?
Oh yeah, Get Smart.
Yeah, it was, and they had those silly little, "I'm gonna pull out my belt buckle camera." Like it's that kind of goofy crap. So when they say his cameraman, it's really it's his buddy.
Yeah.
Who was keeping him company.
I mean, it could very well have been his actual cameraman front because he made a full documentary about this.
With a camera in
right. It. For some reason, it had to be him.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of footage from this. There's a full 2-hour documentary that Alex Jones produced about.
Did you watch the entire thing, by the way?
I did not watch the entire thing. I watched. I would say I watched about 8 hours worth of Alex Jones things in over the course of this.
No wonder you're so cranky.
Mm-hmm. anyway.
I looked at a picture of the guy that made me mad. Yeah. I don't know how she's alive.
So anyway, let's get back to this.
Sorry.
He, like I said, there's a lot of footage that's kind of whatever. But the one thing that he did manage to catch is this opening ceremony thing they do called the Cremation of Care. And this seems to be pretty much the number one thing that people point to when saying that what's going on at Bohemian Grove is like really creepy. It's not the best quality, but I do want to play you guys just a really brief clip from the Cremation of Care, just to give you a sense of what it sounds like.
Crap is what it sounds like.
Yes, but...
All right, we'll play it now.
Be gone, dull care. Fire shall have its will of thee. Be gone, dull care. And all the winds, they carry with thy dust. Hail, fellowship's eternal flame. Once again, midsummer sets us free.
Welcome back. This is the...
How was that? Did you enjoy?
This is... And I would encourage you, if you are interested in this story, to go watch the video. We'll put a link on the website of a good quality one with subtitles, because it is such a weird quality. And if you Google it, you're going to find ones that are really, really long and awful. But this is the bulk of what Alex Jones got on tape, except for the additional bunch of hours of him just riding around and then sitting in a little like forested area. He's made a lot of noise about the nefarious things that are going on, but he was there for 4 hours and it's just boring, most of the stuff that he got. But the Cremation of Care is a big part of the creepy factor here.
Yeah, it's like the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's a popular ceremony with the members.
Let's just describe the ceremony for those of our listeners who are listening.
Who didn't go watch it.
Who are listening. Yeah, not watching. The ceremony is basically this, an effigy of what's called dull care, D-U-L-L care, is brought across a small lake by hooded figures.
Druids.
Hooded figures.
Yeah.
To a stage where other hooded figures are waiting for it in front of a giant cement owl.
It's not an eagle. It's an owl.
Yeah. Yep.
The owl is the symbol of the Bohemian Club.
Yes, Captain.
It's 40 feet tall and it is hollow. It's actually a steel frame with a cement covering.
It's a man-made thing.
And
so,
then, but it's made to look like it's naturally occurring.
Right.
And it's pretty
convincing.
It looks pretty good. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out if you make a concrete statue and you leave it in the woods for 40 years,
it'll
get all moss and stuff. And I know.
Yeah. Anyhow, the effigy is brought before the crowd of pretty much all 2,500 people who are attending.
Or at least everybody that's attending that day.
That day. But I think that is one of the things that most people come to, because it's a big thing. There's a... It's placed on an altar, and at the end of the ceremony, it's set on fire. There's a voiceover play happening, which I think sounds like it's a recording from like 50 years ago.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell. For a while, the voiceover was actually Walter Cronkite, who was a member.
Mm-hmm.
The effigy, like we said, is brought. It's actually a steel frame. It's like literally just rebar.
Not the owl, but the effigy that
the
gets
effigy,
burned.
Yeah. It's actually like rebar welded together in the very most basic frame of a stick figure human. And then it's wrapped in cloth and that cloth is set on fire. And it's meant to be dull care, as in worries.
Dull your cares.
Well, no, it's dull care, like dull worries, like mundane worries of the world.
I took it the other way, but okay. Yeah.
No, yeah. So basically they are cremating their worries in order to enjoy their retreat. Everyone cheers, as you can kind of hear in the very tail end of that clip that we played. And apparently there's reports of beers being passed around and,
oh my God,
and everything after the cremation happens. Uh-huh. There's huge pyrotechnics. It's an insane...
Which is disturbing in the woods.
Yeah, except for they own the woods, so they don't really care.
Yeah.
No, seriously, they do. This is actually something interesting.
I know
interesting.
They do, but it's still not okay.
Well, this is interesting.
They own a huge chunk of woods.
They own a huge chunk of woods, and you can't log in the redwoods, but they can log on that property, and they do so pretty frequently.
To a degree. They tried to log a hell of a lot more, and they got blocked by the
pretty,
courts.
Yeah, they're pretty constrained. Yeah. It's pretty, yeah. Just
but they do to
trees.
The fullest extent that they are allowed.
But they
log.
They have something like almost 3,000 acres, I think. Yeah.
They do, yeah. But the club motto is... And the club and camp motto both is weaving spiders come not here, which people think is creepy too, but we'll talk about that. There's a lot of stuff that you will read online that says care is a child. This comes from one specific place that we'll talk about in a minute. And that the owl is actually Moloch, which is a Canaanite.
The Canaanite god. Yeah.
Canaanite god associated with child sacrificing, who's actually a bull, but whatever.
It's like a human body with a bull's head.
Yeah.
Kind of like a minotaur.
It doesn't look anything like an owl, but whatever. There's also a lot of stuff that you will see if you go to do your own research on this, where people say that the effigy, quote, could be a real human. Who knows?
Yeah.
Again, more on this later.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah. I mean, really, why not?
You know, actually.
If you're going to burn something, you might as well burn a real person.
Yeah, might as well. No. Back to the grove. After the ceremony, the activities of the weeks that follow are pretty much a mixed bag. They produce two plays, one that's the high jinx and one that's the low jinx. So one is kind of a serious, really high production level play. And then the low jinx is... oftentimes they'll do it in drag, or it's just supposed to be
there's
like a fun
and
little
fart
comedy.
Jokes everywhere.
Yeah. it's you know, lowbrow humor.
Kind of like Monty Python, but maybe not as subtle.
Not as funny probably.
Yeah, probably
even.
Not nearly as funny.
Actually, like exactly like what if you told a group of Boy Scouts,
12-year-old boys totally. In the woods to make a play,
this
they
is
would
what they
quickly
would come
degenerate
up with.
Into
yes.
what is produced.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there was a really funny thing. Like Henry Kissinger had a little part in one of these.
Oh, yeah.
won't tell the story now, but it was great.
Yeah, there have been a lot of... But again, that's one of those things, right? There's actually been stories about what happens in these plays. And there's a series of lakeside chats that go on. Usually they're hosted...
Bohemian TED Talks.
Yeah, but usually they're hosted by the more powerful
senior.
And... No, actually powerful. I mean, so like usually if a president or ex-president is in attendance, they get to do one of the lakeside chats. So there's some pictures of George W. and George
H.W.
Bush. Thank you. Had a brain fart. Doing a lakeside chat together between their presidencies. It is the TED Talks. It's the more, senior, powerful, whatever you want to call it. People, there's rumors that those lakeside talks at Bohemian Grove did produce things like the atom bomb in the 30s. There's talks.
1930s?
In the 1930s.
Actually,
yeah.
That would have been the 40s. But,
well, no, the 30s would have been the initiation, genus of the whole project.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
And that, you know, that was where Nixon and Reagan got to decide. You know,
who ran when?
Lots of just little tiny tendril rumors coming out of the rumor mill, out of
which is
thing.
Really interesting. I had never actually thought about the fact that Reagan may have actually been politically active when Nixon got elected. And could you imagine what the world was if it had been Reagan who was running and won during the time that we now know as the Nixon presidency? Yeah. That's a weird thing to think of.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember exactly when Reagan was governor of California. Was he already out of it by 1968?
I think he was still governor, but there's many governors who resigned to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just a weird thing is that you know these timelines and then there's conversations of them deal making at this event and saying, no, I won't interfere. You run. I won't stand in your way. But if Ronnie had gone ahead and said, I'm going to run, he could have been. Could have been kind of, he'd been young enough, he'd kind of been Kennedy-esque.
Yeah. And so that is something that I will say, if true, you know, there is probably a problem with that.
Listen, that horse trading happens everywhere, though.
Yeah,
that's
but
the whole thing is that yeah, you can't regulate that because, it can't happen in the airport bathroom. You know?
Well, it could. If
probably
it was
does.
Like DIA, but anyway, like we said, we don't actually know really what happens because the security, I'm making air quotes here, but the security is so good. But really, it's just because, you know, the attendees are, they honor the promise that they made. And it's, they said, we're going to come.
It's Vegas, man.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me, you know.
Especially if what we know goes on goes on.
Yeah, exactly.
Let alone the stuff that people say is going on.
Yeah, yeah. As of 2007, there were 118 sub-camps that the general public knew about happening at Bohemian Grove, to just give you a larger sense of kind of what is going on there. And we kind of talked about this, but the most prominent one is called Mandalay, which is touted as a secret club within a secret club that most members aren't even allowed to approach.
By the way, the camp, just for, if we said it before and you didn't get it, it's basically, it's where people are sleeping, their bunkhouse. Have you ever went to camp as a kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your camp, or these sub camps are, you know, the weasel camp or the bunny camp or whatever. It's just your building.
Well, yeah. It's not
or
just
set
your,
of buildings.
A lot of them are not even buildings. Some of them are just like basically wooden platforms that are built up the hillside, and you can pitch your tent on this wooden platform.
Right.
It's actually kind of a rugged area. It's not that much level ground to pitch a tent.
But I just wanted people to understand what these 118 sub-camps really, what that means.
It's like your little camp area where, and you're part of these sub-clubs, mm-hmm. basically. So Mandalay, I do believe, is an actual bunkhouse. Like it's super swanky, but yeah, it's touted as this sort of, even the people who attend, they're the most rich and powerful of the rich and powerful, and, you know, security's super tight, which again kind of makes sense to me, because it's where the like really, really, really rich, high powered people are. So mm-hmm. they're probably a little, you know, it's like 2,500 people are there, right? It's not as though it's just 100 of your closest friends. That's a large group of people, so you do still probably have to be careful about your own security.
2,500 people over the course of 2 weeks. They're not all there the entire time. But even if they were...
There are times when damn near everybody's there.
Yeah.
But even if they are over 100-plus camps, that's still... What is it? My math suddenly just blew out of my head.
It's okay, because they're different sizes. All the camps are different sizes. All I'm trying to get at is that... Just because you're at this super secret camp, with a lot of other high powered rich men, doesn't mean that you don't still need to be aware of your own security.
Understanding.
Depending on how high and powered or what your profile is.
Got it.
That's all
I'm
saying.
Sorry. I just don't have an avenue there.
That's okay. Some other camps are, as we said, the Hillbillies, which is the Texas based chapter. The Bushes are members of that one. Their mascot is a quote satanic goat creature.
Whoa. Yeah. You'd be much nicer to Choopy than that.
It's
that is a derogatory way to talk about
Choopy's
Choopy.
Not a goat.
It might be kind of a cheap, yeah, it might be sort of a Choopy reference though.
It's a, what's the thing that plays the panpipes?
Yeah,
the satyr?
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to think. No, is it a satyr? No.
And then they're in Narnia too.
I thought they were satyrs, but
I know what you're talking
about. It's one of those things. Whatever Mr. Tumnus is. I can't remember. I'm sorry. Anyway, there's also a group called the Lost Angels. Again, this kind of allows everybody to just interpret stuff going on as they will, because, you know, when you name your camps things like that, it begs for a little scrutiny, but it's also 118 camps, so at some point you're gonna stop coming up with really cool names. They're gonna be a little weird, some of them.
I think we could come up, the three of us could come up with 118, but I mean, at the same time.
And actually, you know what? If we were though, the Hillbillies would probably be one of them.
It's a satyr.
Probably would.
A satyr?
It's totally a satyr.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah. Took me 300 episodes, 100 of which we haven't recorded to finally get it right.
Yeah. True.
Satyr. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that's all I have to say about the story, and then we'll talk about theories.
What's really going on here?
Yeah, really, there's theories about what's going on here, and we'll probably add a little additional information as we talk about theories, like we are wont to do. But first, let's take a break.
The Willamette Radio Workshop.
The award-winning Willamette Radio Workshop returns for the 19th annual UFO Festival in McMinnville, Oregon. Two live radio shows at the Hotel Oregon in Maddie's room at 3 p.m. Saturday the 19th. Isaac Asimov's Pebble in the Sky, and Craig Kenworthy's Herf, the Extra-Dimensional Assassin. Tales of future worlds with a modern edge. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll wonder when the mothership arrives. Free admission with food and beverages available. All ages are welcome. Live radio lives at McMiniman's 19th Annual UFO Festival. Don't miss it.
And we're back. So, yeah, let's talk about them.
Sweet!
So the first theory...
How many theories are there, by the way?
Two.
Two, okay.
And the first theory, Steve is already mad about, is... I forgot that this
I'm
is what I'm
making a face.
It.
I can't help it. It's that I smell something bad face.
I know. I'm sorry. I also forgot that I made a joke title for this that I can't read on the show. So I have to rename it on the fly. We're going to call this one the Satanic New World Order.
Stuff.
Things.
Poop.
So things.
So things.
Yeah. Okay.
Planning
stuff.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, this theory would stipulate that the ritual is like super pagan.
Yeah,
the sacrifice
really
is real.
Yeah.
It's a child sacrifice to Moloch, not an owl. And this group of 2,500 men are actually planning the New World Order.
Which is kind of some sort of pagan, satanic New World
Apparently,
Order.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to be the thing. Again, as I mentioned, I'm not going to go too far into this because we're not doing an episode on the New World Order. But that does always seem to be the thing with the New World Order.
They're pagans.
It's always really satanic and occulty.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, but why? But why? Oh, because that scares people a lot? Okay, got it.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it is, and I'm not claiming the New World Order conspiracy does not exist, but George H.W. Bush must have caught a lot of grief from his fellow club members for letting it slip.
Uh-huh.
Because he did. You know?
Well, he's the one who coined the term.
The New World Order?
No, he didn't coin the term. He just let it slip in a speech.
Okay.
You know, I mean, or another way of looking at it is he just coined the term... Because essentially the Soviet Union had just collapsed.
But he accidentally let it slip by using a phrase. Yes.
You know, in the real world, yes. But another way of looking at it is, yeah, he just coined the term in a speech because the Soviet Union had collapsed. And we were looking at a new international order. So you could look at it that way, but, you know, only a fool would believe that. I mean,
right.
So, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a new world order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so yeah. This the Bohemian Club is primarily made up of white conservative Christian men.
Yeah.
There are reports. Okay. And the only place that I've actually seen this report is, I think, from Alex Jones,
uh-huh.
I believe. I don't think I saw it in any of the Spy magazine or anything like that.
No.
But...
No, the Spy magazine article, he did mention a little bit of...
Brotherly love,
but he didn't say anything about it was
anything
actually
like this.
Gay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's
Alex...
a kind of actually thing that fraternity guys actually do. You know, they blow each other kisses in the shower, but it's all just... You know,
for fun.
It's ha-ha, jokey-jokey,
yeah.
Slap you on the ass and go
that,
about your day.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
So Alex Jones makes claims of actual homosexual orgies happening at the club. Although he was
Who
only
cares?
There... But also he was only there for 4 hours and it was the very first day. He stayed for the cremation of care and then left. I don't know how he has proof of these homosexual orgies, but...
He hid in the woods for part of the day.
And the reason he did that is because he said that he was being catcalled so pervasively that he was really uncomfortable, so he decided to go hide with his cameraman in the woods.
He's a pretty hunky guy. I can understand why.
Here's what I love to think. There's one of two ways that I see that became an issue.
Yeah.
One, he is so insecure that a couple of dudes making frat jokes at him, hey, sweet cheeks, kind of jokes, totally just... dudes being dudes and screwing with each other made him super uncomfortable, or he had been doing what he does for a couple of years at that point, and somebody
and
might have said,
was.
Wait,
yeah.
That's Alex Jones. That a-hole is in here. Guys, we have to mess with him. Don't kick him out. We're going to screw with him, and then we'll get him out of here. And they went after him.
That's what I was thinking
intentionally
myself, is that,
to make him just hate life.
Well, here's another thing. I didn't see or hear any proof. As mentioned, I did not watch all of the every single bit of the footage.
You didn't hear all the wolf whistles?
I did not.
Like
no,
that.
I really didn't. And so actually a lot of me thinks that it's possible that he just like kind of got scared, like got nervous.
Cold feet.
Yeah. And was like, all right, I guess. I mean, you know, he was just camping. Like when you play a shooter video game and you got the one dude who's like camp snipering and he's just sitting there and the way that he wins the game is because he didn't die. I mean, that seems to me kind of, he just was like, well, okay, we're just going to go sit in the woods and that'll be safe. And then we'll do this cremation of care thing and then we'll get out of here as fast as humanly possible. And then
literally skulking around camp.
Yeah, that seemed to be what was going on.
It makes sense. You know, you get in there, you know, minimize the chances of getting caught, getting your camera confiscated, and, you know, losing your footage and stuff.
Which is fine, you know. Yeah. That's
But overall, so it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, the whole we're worshiping Satan and burning children and barbecuing them for the final dinner, that seems to have, a lot of that has spawned out since these... His video is.
I actually do think that his video is the very first
the
point.
Seed.
It's the origin of that theory. Yes, there. I mean, again, there have been people who've said.
Well, in the '80s, there were people who were saying that they were doing stuff, and we needed to watch them, but it was because they were powerful in Politico
and
but,
apparently planning the atomic bomb.
But some of those people also were so fanatical. I could see where they might be circulating some more lurid rumors too.
Well, and they had been. They had admitted that they were in the '80s. I cannot remember the name of the lady who had the watchdog group.
Mary Moore.
Was that it? Yeah. And she was. She seemed to allude to that they were pulling up stuff. And more of it seemed to be that they were smoking what they were growing.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't all founded in reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
man. The man is after you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's this chatter, just to get back, sorry. There's this chatter of the cremation of care or care being a child sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is... There are basically like programs handed out at the beginning of cremation of care.
Yeah.
And also programs for the entire weekend. I mean, there's a lot of programming. You got to, you know, decide what you want to go to.
It's
and
an organizational nightmare.
Totally. So, but they do hand out a program at the cremation of care. So everybody knows, you know, what's going on, can follow along. And they have different images on them every year, but... One year, they had a little drawing of a skeleton burning. And I honestly, when I first saw this drawing, I didn't even recognize it as a human skeleton.
Because
it's bad.
It's not.
It's, well, yeah. Alex Jones says that he had it examined by doctors and the drawing, to be clear, had the drawing examined by doctors and they said that the ratio of the head to the body was that of a child and that the arms, which I don't even recognize as arms, they're like little like lobster claws.
Yes!
He says that the proportions are of a child, therefore proving that it's care is actually a child sized sacrifice.
Or could be just
a tree.
Or it could be bad drawing.
Could be
it's a tree on fire. It's in front of a flame, it's a giant flame, it's a tree.
Or it could be a subtle endorsement of euthanasia.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this obviously deformed child is going to be, like, you know, disposed of.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of interpretations of that drawing.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay, so I know you two were worried about us getting sued for slander, so if Alex Jones comes after us, this is all on me. If this is what he believes, he's an idiot.
Well, I think...
I mean, the drawing thing.
Here's what I will say.
This drawing, because I've seen it, and it's... He's an idiot.
Here's what I will say about Alex Jones is that he has made a really successful, lucrative career for himself on conspiracy theories.
He screams a lot.
And this was pretty much the first big one for him. I mean, like I said, he got popular pretty much right after this stuff came out. He founded InfoWars not too much later than that. This has continued to be a thing that he talks about and points back to the footage from 2000. And as we're going to talk about in just one moment, some additional footage that came out in 2005. And, you know, God love him. I mean, honestly, like, if you can just make a career out of screaming into a microphone, like, that's what we're doing right now.
I can't really blame him.
We really have been doing it wrong. We need to scream more.
We should be screaming more. Yeah. Next time on Thinking Sideways, just an hour of screaming. We're just going to sit in the room and scream into the microphone.
Hey, if people will pay for it, I'll do it.
Anyway. That'll be our next April Fools. It'll go over better.
Yeah.
Because people will not be confused
by
that.
That's true. Well, they might be, actually, but that's true. Anyway, so this is just going to go into our next theory because I have no organizational skills whatsoever and just wanted to talk about this story. The next theory is that actually this is a boys' camp for a bunch of dudes who don't really know how to unwind and need to keep their unwinding a secret.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
run with it, sister.
Yeah. So, well, and so here's all I will say is that just honestly take a step back from it and say, if you remove the cremation of care pantomime opening ceremonies, what do we have? Nothing.
A bunch of guys hanging out and drinking and occasionally giving a speech, some singing, some piano playing, bagpipes, stuff
swimming,
going on.
Swimming and hiking,
and more drinking.
More drinking, lots of eating.
Yeah.
Lots of public urination.
And ultimately, and we can say, you know, okay, maybe some of the lectures are about the feasibility of the atomic bomb.
Yeah,
maybe they are.
There are some serious lectures,
They are, but realistically, what does that come down to is powerful men who are knowledgeable about topics talking about the topics they are knowledgeable on
and deal making
and talking about like interesting things to them. Yes, the deal making thing I'm very happy to say is a problem.
I don't know how much of that's really going on there.
I wouldn't call that a problem because I'm sorry, but powerful people get together where they all can congregate and be with their like kind.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Us poor people, we get together in poor people bars. Rich people, they get together in rich country clubs. Like, you stick with the people that are like you
totally
and you're comfortable
true.
With.
Yeah.
And you talk. And listen, we can make a deal, but our deal is worth $10.
Sure.
Because
we
don't
do
have but $10 between us.
I know,
we can do it, but
when you got a billion, it's a billion-dollar deal.
And that's the thing about this that I find less than sinister is that... these are people, like especially like heads of state and, you know, heads of big corporations and stuff, who have to, every other day of the year, watch themselves really super closely because they're being followed by the press, especially if you're a politician.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go. This is one place where you can go and no reporters allowed and nobody talks about, you know, you got drunk and got naked and put a lampshade over your head. Nobody talks about that.
Right.
So you can totally make a fool of yourself and get drunk and have a good time. I totally see why these guys would like this.
That's how I feel as well. And then, so let's add back in the whole cremation of care thing.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that for a second. Some additional footage was released in 2005, as I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, from somebody who was reporting to be an employee of the Grove. Most of it was equally mundane as the Alex Jones footage, but one thing that was cool is the person was able to gain access to see the effigies that were used in this cremation ceremony.
Pre-use in the ceremony,
yeah. And actually, I thought that was really interesting, and it was actually confirmed there are four different effigies. One is just in a horse-drawn carriage, like a old-timey hearse with a horse-drawn carriage hearse. Kind of thing. One is used on the boat. One is kept behind some curtains for the people running the ceremony, which is admittedly odd. I don't really know why. I think it's a backup too, but I will also, at the very least, I want to say, okay, it is a little weird.
If the Bernie one doesn't catch on fire, you can grab the backup one and literally fling it off the stage. And I mean, look.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm willing to at least cede to the really hardcore conspiracy theorists out there. That one could be odd.
Actually,
probably not, but could be.
You were in theater. You know all about the backups.
I know about the backups, but...
The other possibility is this, is that if it's members who have to put this thing on, then they have to have their own ceremony afterwards where they can cast away their cares because... Obviously,
well,
during the ceremony,
serious,
they've got to be all serious and focused.
Well, you know, I don't know
maybe
about...
Maybe they have a second like, little ceremony.
Yeah. Maybe that's true, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then the final one is the one they set on fire.
Fire, fire.
And you can actually see the fire one in the video. It is that rebar, literally stick figure pretty much, that is got two, basically like pall, like a pall bearer, like on a casket kind of things, welded to either side of it. Mm-hmm. And it is, adult size. Yeah. So
not a baby.
Not a baby, not a child. Actually adult, like a pretty large adult, actually, size. So that seems to debunk the child part, at least.
Oh, you know what I just realized?
Hmm.
I really shouldn't have been so concerned about these guys lighting up fireworks. You know why? Because the entire area
it's on
is
a lake.
Sodden
yeah.
With urine.
Yeah.
No, it's that, also yeah. on a lake. I mean,
I know.
And they bring in actual pyrotechnic techs and all of that stuff. But...
They might actually get out the fire hoses and wet the trees down. Plus, actually, sequoias.
Wait, was that a joke?
That was a joke, yeah.
Okay.
But also, redwoods are actually kind of fire resistant.
They are.
Well, yeah. No, I just mean the ground is covered in pines.
Yeah, oh, no.
But it's sodden pines. I'm sorry, Devin, what else did you
there
have?
Was a
we're
lot of
we're
that.
Going down.
That's okay. The other thing I just want to mention, again, you may or may not have noticed that I keep calling it the cremation of care because that's what it's called. It's called the cremation of care.
Not the immolation
You're
of care.
You're cremating
not
care.
The murder of
Do
care.
You know what you cremate? A dead body.
Dead body, sure.
You don't kill somebody with cremation. That's not how it works.
That's called incineration.
Then it's incineration or
immolation.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Or
burning
somebody
burning
alive. I mean, yeah. It's the cremation because they have, as they've walked in, it's my understanding at least, and there have been accounts of people who are members who have said this about this actual ceremony. And they say, yeah, you come in, you know, it's at the evening of that first night. So you come in and you're supposed to have already tried to get rid of most of your dull cares. You're supposed to kill them, most of your worldly worries. And then at this ceremony, it's basically just, it's like a Christmas pageant almost, you know, it's the
a pageant is the best way to call it.
It's
a
the,
play.
It's the cremation of your already dead dull cares that will, and if you watch it, you will see there's a bit of a thing with dull care saying like, you try to burn me. And they say,
I will come back.
And they say, you're gonna, we
like,
know
kill
we're,
me.
Why we're,
make me stronger?
You know, no, it doesn't say that, but they say, yeah, we're burning you now. And we know that at the end of this Midsummer's retreat, you will come back, and that's just how the world works, which, again, whatever. But it is. It's like a Christmas pageant, right? I mean, think about how, if you had zero context for a Christmas pageant and you just saw it, how weird and kind of creepy it could seem. Just mm-hmm. think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's just something that I just keep thinking about with this.
I mean, but, you know, I was going to say, though, that, you know, having seen this, it actually is no creepier, maybe less creepy than just the big burning of the man at Burning Man.
Yeah,
which is equally, you know, I mean, if you were looking at that as an outsider, and believe me, it's a huge ceremony, and it's big,
yeah.
And then this huge thing gets burned, and the whole thing, it, you know, in a certain sense, it is kind of just like, what's the word for it? Like, you know, it's like being on another planet, and there's this weird, scary alien thing going on in front of you.
There's one of the videos that I posted for you guys is a guy from Ireland talking about a festival that they do in his town where they have an actual stuffed dummy that they burn. It's supposed to be actually like burning a man in effigy.
The Wicker Man?
Every year. And that, I mean, that is explicitly pretending to be burning an actual human.
Being. Yeah, that happens
this
a
is,
lot. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not even, it's a cremation.
Well,
yeah.
And the verbiage that these guys use in the what is obviously Pat wrote speech and
I think
lines.
It is an old recording.
Well, yeah, but well, what I'm getting at, though, is that when I was in high school and then early college, I was involved in different organizations. And, you know, the OWL is very traditional from organizations that are 18th or 19th century-ish forward because it was always the wise figure. And the wording that they use is very, very similar to
it's
what
it's all old-timey.
It's dated for us. And they use it, but it becomes rote and pat. Mm-hmm. And so people who don't know what the hell it is, that's weird. Yeah. Who talks like that? Well,
it's creepy
it turned out
and
somebody
occult.
In the late 1800s who wrote it considered it to be wise and astute. And that's the reason they wrote it that
I
way.
I will say that originally when they were doing the cremation of care, the people who were participating in it. It was much smaller. It was not, you know, 2,500 people.
Right, it was
blah,
25
blah, blah.
Or something.
And the people who were participating were encouraged to write their own scripts.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like we said, Walter Cronkite was the voice of it, and it was... It's just become an actual pageant.
It became this,
they literally,
a passage.
I really think they do. And I, you know, you can't tell from the video, but it sounds like to me they literally just press play on some voice acting from the 50s.
Yeah, it's a
and
tape. Yeah.
Then just kind of go through the motions and pretend like they're doing it, and then that's it. Yeah, and all of this to say,
somebody hopes George H.W. didn't put the magnet next to the actual cassette tape this year, because the year he did that was a debacle.
Yeah,
that's why actually,
because George Jr. was terrible in that role.
That's why, Walter Cronkite doesn't do it anymore. Yeah. They accidentally erased the tape. Oopsie.
Yeah. Yips.
Yeah.
And you know, all this to say, this doesn't necessarily mean that, like, I don't believe in conspiracies. I don't believe that, you know, sometimes a lot of high-powered people come together and maybe do say, like, well, you know, Nixon, you run this year, and Reagan. And that is some kind of organizing and conspiring for the world.
But that happens everywhere.
But it happens everywhere. You can't stop people from doing that. And I also think this, like Joe was saying, is, like, the kind of lives that these people lead...
It is drunk horse camp.
You can't. Yeah. Well, and it's the only time. But it's the only time that they have to actually unwind, because the rest of their lives are literally under scrutiny all the time.
Yeah.
And that's just all it seems like to me, is that it's just like a bunch of frat boys who never really grew out of that, but suddenly have to try to do better in public society. And
yeah, it could be that, or it could be much deeper and more sinister than you know.
Yeah, those are the two options.
For example, it's even more sinister. I mean, like, for example, that article in Spy that was from 1989 was written by a guy named Philip Weiss, who infiltrated the camp over and over again.
Yeah.
For days.
And he reported seeing a lot of public urination, a lot of drunkenness, had conversations with many, many people, including had a short, brief conversation with Ronald Reagan himself.
Yeah.
And it may well be that they were up to some serious business there. But what they did is, like, they tagged him right away.
Mm-hmm.
They surrounded him with a clot of drunken Republicans who went with him and surrounded him everywhere he went.
Like we said with Alex Jones, they spotted him.
I did, actually.
And put a phalanx of drunks around him.
There was part of me that was kind of like, well, it does seem a little suspicious, Alex, that you were allowed to go in with this tape and get it out and publish it, and have continued to be allowed to publish it. I mean, it's all over.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this whole new world order, blah, 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 either they're, like, totally allowing him to do this because everyone's like, well, he's crazy, or it's spreading false propaganda. Because if it really is this new world order thing, don't you think they could have had YouTube take that video down?
The best way to spread misinformation is to have your enemy spread it as truth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
I love that idea that's what's going on. I really don't think it. And by the way, just as a clarification, so that we don't get any angry emails when we say frat boys drinking and we're talking about these high powered people,
the stereotype.
This is the stereotype. We're not saying that your frat, Delta, 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 which, I, by the way, don't freak out. I know it's not a frat. That's a sorority. It's a joke. But it's just, we're playing the stereotype.
Yeah.
So calm down, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but...
Put the beer down. Put your margaritas down. Your appletini is okay. Let's continue on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't have anywhere to continue.
No, I'll just say
thank God, because I need an appletini.
Well, I think Joe has something.
Yeah, no, I'll just say that, you know, this stuff has been around with us, this kind of behavior, for a long time. If you buy another series, because it often is the case in America and other places, too, that if the guys that you don't like win the election... And suddenly all the paranoia starts. It sets in big time.
Oh, God.
And if you buy it, and if you, you know, and it's the end of the world, it's Hitler, you know, it's, you know, I mean, it's, this is just like Nazi Germany. And if you buy into that and you buy into this kind of stuff, you're just a tool. You know, you might think you're smart and everything else, and you're the good one and they're the evil ones, but really, you're just a tool. I mean, you know, that's kind of
for somebody else's game.
Yeah,
not in the derogatory term of your tool. You're being used.
Yeah, not in the sense of a public, of a private part. But that's where most of the stuff is coming from.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there you have it.
It's like But you know, on the other hand, I could be wrong, and maybe there is like a secret underground complex and all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah,
I kind of doubt it.
Those trees are actually not live anymore. They've been hollowed out, shored up.
Yeah.
They paint them all year long. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't log them.
Yeah.
And
they're actually
where the missiles are.
I was going to say missile silos.
Yeah, and the underground complex.
Yeah.
The buttons to operate it are in that stone owl.
Yeah.
Probably that's true. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Do you guys have anything more to add to this?
Yeah, the lake opens up and that's where the helicopters come in.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say I do want to go there and check it out. I wish they would invite me. I mean, we're pretty freaking high powered here.
Yeah, so hey, if you are a member of the Bohemian Grove and you want to take, I guess, these guys, not me because I'm a lady.
We'll Devin, sneak you in.
Listen, the security is not all that tight. I get your eyeliner. We can paint a mustache on you.
Yeah.
Curly one to boot. Big, multiple round curls.
Perfect.
Yeah. They'll let you in.
Okay.
We'll tuck your hair up under your cap.
Great.
Yeah,
it's
nobody
perfect.
Will know.
Nobody will know.
She's like Brad Pitt. She's a man who's growing hair out to just show that men can do that.
Yeah, with a man bun and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that will totally get you in the man bun.
I'm sure that all of the really old, rich, white, Republican Christian men are going to be like, yeah, that's one of ours. That guy fits in.
You can stand up and pee. We all can.
It's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all of this having been said, it's time for us to give you some additional information. Like I said, we will post a video, like our choice video of the cremation of care ceremony so you can see it, as well as some other research links on our website. That website is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. You can also find links to merch, old episodes. I don't really know what else. I'm sorry. You just go there and find out for yourself. It'll be a mystery for you.
Yeah.
You can connect with us on social media about this case or any other, or just to like talk to us because you like us. We are on Twitter where we're Thinking Sideways. We are on Facebook. We've got a page and a group. Like the page, join the group, answer the questions. The answers are yes and Thursday.
Easy.
You can find us on Reddit. We have our own subreddit that is Thinking Sideways. You can also find us on Instagram, where I guess we're posting some things. I don't know. It's Thinking Sideways Podcast on Instagram. You know where you're streaming us. It can be, you know, the website, maybe. Could be iTunes. Probably iTunes. Could be Stitcher Premium.
That's a good one.
That's the right one.
Yeah,
Could be who knows what. But if you are streaming from one of those places and you have not yet taken the time to give us a review and a rating, please do so. That's how other people find us. And really, you should be on Stitcher Premium because you get the episodes 4 days early, ad-free, and you get bonus content. If you don't have that yet, you can go to stitcher.com/thinkingsideways. Use the promo code Sideways. You'll get a month free. And last but not least, if you want to send us an email, you can do that. We have an email address. It is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. I think we're just going to go ahead and get out of here and hopefully not be murdered by the New World Order on my way home.
Too late for that.
Yep.
I'm going to go prevent forest fire.
Okay.
Water a tree.
Bye, Smokey.
All right. Well, when I say bye, I mean bye forever, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. See ya.